Book of John, chapter 1. Chapter 1. Hallelujah. What a powerful, powerful moving of God's Spirit. When we obey the voice of the Lord, He will do mighty things. He just wants us to come to Him in spirit and in truth. He wants to touch and minister and heal. We just have to put aside all of the things that distract us and the thoughts and that keep us from being able to press in this morning. The title of my sermon is called An Audience of One. An Audience of One. John 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the world. He created. But the world didn't recognize him. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. Yes, he came into his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Children of God, they are reborn, not with the physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So powerful. So powerful. Before Christ was manifested in the flesh, He was in the bosom of the Father. He came to be a visible representation of the invisible God. Goodness. If our minds can scarcely fathom it. He is the visible representation of the invisible God. Colossians 1:15. God was in Christ, redeeming the world unto Himself. That's powerful. The invisible God. The God that you can't see. The God that's full of light. So powerful and so bright. He was so terrifying that Moses was trembling when he came up on the mountain. Now he's come in visible form, visible form through Christ Jesus, implanted the sperm of God, the sperm of God into the womb of Mary. The capital seed becoming flesh. He came into his own creation that he had made. you and me, his own creation that he had made. And they rejected him. But to all that would receive him, they would become the sons and the daughters of God. It's supernatural. It can't be perceived by a human mind, but only through the mind of the Spirit, enlightening the human mind through revelation and truth. He came into his own, and his own received him not. How powerful is rejection? The creator of the universe came into visible form and was rejected. Today I want to talk to you about the advantages of being rejected. I want to talk to you about the wounds of rejection. Jesus understands rejection. He knows what it's like to be rejected. God himself being in Christ, the Son of God, being rejected from his own creation that he made. Nobody understands rejection more than him. Every person has been rejected. For whatever reason, they're not accepted, they're not welcome, they're not wanted. They're outcast, they're blackballed, they're banned. Every person has suffered it. Every person has went through it at some time or another. It's painful to be rejected. It hurts. It makes you look at yourself in a different way. It causes you to say, "What's wrong with me? Why can't I be loved? Why can't I be accepted? What's wrong? Is my hair not the way they liked it? Is my clothes not the way they think it should be?" Every single person at some point or another has suffered rejection, whether it be by friends, whether it be by peers, whether it be by parents, whether it be by relatives, whether it be by a coach or a teacher, whether it be in a relationship. Everybody knows what it's like. It's a wound. It's a hurt. I was raised Pentecostal. I was raised United Pentecostal. So we wore dresses and long hair, and we didn't wear makeup. It wasn't custom of the United Pentecostal to wear makeup. So that wasn't a part of my growing up. We weren't allowed to pierce our ears, or there were different things that we couldn't do. There was a lot of wonderful things. We saw marvelous things at that time, miracles, signs, and wonders, and the powerful moving of the Spirit. But because I was United Pentecostal, and because of the way I dressed, and because I did not wear pants, I wasn't permitted to wear pants, and I really didn't wear pants until I was in high school. All of my years in the school system, the public school system, were horrendous. I was mocked, I was laughed at, I was made fun of, I was rejected by the popular people, I was the bottom of the barrel, the scum of the earth. I wasn't received or welcomed or wanted in the clique or the group. And let me just say, that's a painful place. Jesus knows what it's like to feel rejected by his own people, by those he created. No one will have a greater understanding of your rejection or the things that you've went through like he will. I may not understand it. You may not understand what I've been through. I may not understand what you've been through. But Christ does, because he understands rejection, because he went through that with his own creation, because of his sorrows and his acquaintance with grief and his broken heart. He made access for all people to be accepted by the Father, who will accept the Son. Because most people just want to be loved and accepted and welcomed and wanted. What the world can't give us, he can. Because he knows what it's like. In Isaiah 53, it says he was acquainted with sorrows. He knew what it was like to carry great grief. Let's go there quickly. Isaiah 53. It's the most powerful, to me, it's one of the most powerful prophecies in Scripture concerning Christ. Because it shows his humanity as well as his deity. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant, he's talking of Christ, grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. Listen to that. Difficult circumstances he grew up. Difficult times. Difficult, dry places where God had not spoken for almost 450 years. The gap between Malachi and the New Testament. Dry places. This tender root came. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. We reject people because of their looks. We reject people because of the color of their skin. We reject people for all sorts of reasons. I don't like the way you talk. I don't like the way you look. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like the way you snore. I don't like the way you put on your face cream, Rebecca. All kinds of reasons people reject one another. He was not beautiful. It says right here. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. We imagine that Christ, the Holy One of God, would just... But there was nothing beautiful or majestic about him from an outward appearance. Nothing to make us want him. Nothing to attract us to him, it says. He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest of grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Let me just say that every single person at some point, not only have you been rejected, you've rejected others. And you didn't care. There was a hardness in our heart that took over. We counted them out. They didn't fit our list of qualifications. They didn't talk like us, look like us, act like us, fit into our clique or our group, and we just rejected them. God knows what it's like. He was a man acquainted with the deepest of grief, and we turned our backs on him and look the other way. Have you ever done that? You saw somebody coming? Oh, there they are. Let's just go over here. I'm just going to be shopping. You know, you run into everybody at Walmart. Run into that person and you're just like, oh my gosh, here they come. I'm just going to. Isn't it funny how we do that? something about them, something they said. We don't like this. We don't like that. What's the motive in our heart? If we take the time to stop and ask ourselves this question, why do I feel that way? And then if we stop and look even deeper and say, have I been that way myself? Few people look that deep. But Jesus understands rejection because we've all experienced rejection and we've all given rejection at some point in our life. He had to understand us. He had to be acquainted with our grief and know what it was like. It was the human part of him that had to deal with the realities of this world, and yet without sin was the deity. He had to mingle the flesh of God and blood together to create the covenant that would bring us unto God to where we could be accepted and welcomed. Free and clear of guilt and shame and condemnation. Powerful. Only through Jesus. Only through Christ. There are some things that we can really learn when we experience rejection. You think, well, I just learn hurt. That's all I've learned. I was deeply wounded as a child. I still struggle sometimes with the rejection of my childhood, of what I went through. I think most people do. But the victory is found in Christ. What did Jesus do? What did he do? Jesus would often leave the 12 and he would leave the crowds and he would go into the audience of one. He would go and spend time with God. He would find himself renewed in God's presence. He would find the love of God and allow that to become greater than the rejection of the world and the voice of an enemy. Rejection is often used as a tool from the enemy to stifle us, to keep us from going forward. I felt that a lot as I prayed for these young people this morning. Rejection and pain and things that have happened to them has stifled them, made them afraid, fearful, insecure of being able to move forward. They're afraid to move forward. They're afraid. What are they going to say? What are people going to do if I stand up or if I move in the direction that I need to? Rejection at times keeps us. It puts a heaviness over us. It puts a negative thought process in our mind. And we begin, if we're not careful, to believe the lies that they've spoken over us. And those lies will have power if we give faith to them. That's why it's important to renounce the lies that the enemy has spoken over you. Renounce the words that people have spoken over your life that were negative. And arise in Christ through intimacy with God. He will strengthen you. He will help you. Every time I get attacked by the enemy, he's always trying to drag me backwards, just like what Carla talked about, trying to drag me back into my past. And make me look at myself from the negative and the painful and the rejected place. And whenever he does that, the enemy does that, and if I give way to it and empower that by believing it or even acknowledging it, I'll go into a pit. Why because we are to believe the word of God and what he has spoken over our life, not what the enemy has said. And whenever we get away from the foundation of God and the words that God has spoken over our life, we open a door for the enemy to come in and to sow seeds in our heart. Seeds that, if not rejected or renounced, may even become truth to you. Even a lie perceived as truth has power. Somebody knows what I'm talking about this morning. I feel it. I feel a release in my spirit. It was a lie. It wasn't true. Rejection causes lots of pain. But rejection can also, if you look at it from a proper perspective, do something else. And that's what I want you to see this morning. I want you to see something. Rejection pushed me to the Father. When I wasn't accepted in school, when I wasn't received or welcomed, when I had a relationship that I was involved in my young teens, that caused me to feel even more rejected when it failed, how was I going to survive that? How was I going to make it through that? When my father struggled with alcoholism and I needed my father, how was I going to make it through that? Who was going to love me? Who was going to accept me? Who was going to want me? I tell you, those feelings could have done a lot of things in my life to destroy me. The reality of those circumstances could have done a lot to destroy my life and take me out. But here's the thing that happened. At some point, I made the decision that I was just going to go to God and he was going to have to heal me. And when I pressed into my Father through Christ, when I spent time with him, when I realized that he loved me with every drop of his son's blood, that he was willing to do what no one else would have done for me, give his son's life so that I could have a relationship with God the Father, I pressed in. And I pressed in as hard as I could because I was loved there. The rejection from the world pressed me into my relationship with God. It will do the same for you. If we can perceive it through the lens without allowing it to attach itself to us and see that just because others rejected me does not mean that God has rejected me. He's got his arms open. He's willing to receive me if I'll come. Rejection is not just people from the outside world rejecting us because of our faith or our beliefs. Sometimes we're rejected even in the house of God. He came into his own, the Jewish people. He came into his own. They didn't perceive him. They didn't recognize him as the Messiah, and they rejected him. It was for the Gentiles' benefit. Then there's purpose. We're able to come It opened up another avenue for all who believed could come, Jew and Gentile. Sometimes rejection can work things in our life that we didn't think that it could. It can take you to a new place in your life. A rejection of an old past can bring you into a new future with greater perspective if you press into the Father's chest and listen for His direction. Rejection often causes us to examine our heart. Is there things in me that I need to look at? Have I rejected others the way I have been rejected? It makes us do a self-examination. When Paul was going to the Corinthian church, they were questioning his love for them, his apostolic authority. And he defended his stance. He says, I've loved you. I've shown that I've loved you. Examine yourself and see what's in your heart. We don't want to be rejected, but are we rejecting others? We don't want to be mistreated, but are we mistreating others? A self-examination. Because someone rejects us and we do a self-exam, we may find some things in here that we need to adjust. Questions to ask yourself when someone rejects you. Can you still pray for them? Do you? Job 42 and 10, having gone through one of the darkest places, Job experienced such pain and anguish, burying all 10 of his children, being covered in boils, his wealth being taken from him, his friends, frenemies come to try to encourage him, only to accuse him of sin in his life, rejecting his voice and his defense of himself. These friends that came, you've been rejected by friends. You've been rejected by people you love, people in your family, people you thought would be there for you. Can you still pray for them? Job comes to the end. Chapter 42 and 10, and it says, and God restored the fortunes of Job as he prayed for his friends. The ones that had mistreated him. Can you still love them? Especially if they're a fellow believer. You say, well, does that mean that I have to be personal with them? Does that mean there are instances in the scripture where there was divisions? Paul and Barnabas split ways over John Mark. John Mark, on the first journey with Paul, got scared and went back. And when they were preparing for another journey, Barnabas wanted to take his cousin John Mark. But Paul said, no, I don't. He turned coward last time. I'm not taking him, and rejected him. Because of that, they split ways. Paul went with Silas and Barnabas with John Mark, and we know that that relationship was mended at some point because in the Testaments, Paul calls for Mark, and John Mark wrote the book of Mark. People you cast out, and then later they go on to do great things. Be careful who you count out. Be careful who you cast stones at. Be careful who you think's not good enough or not qualified enough or not capable enough. Let me read you a little verse, a little paraphrase from 1 Corinthians 1:28. God has picked out people who are laughable, and through them, He is confounding those who think they are high and mighty. Low class, second rate, common, average, run-of-the-mill people, those so low that the world doesn't even think that they're worth the time of day, these are the ones that God has chosen. The insignificant. Even Christ Himself declared of Himself, the stone which the builders rejected has now become the chief cornerstone, and it is marvelous in His sight. Be careful on who you reject, on who you cast out, who you say is not good enough, not qualified enough, not capable enough, not pretty enough, not talented enough. What you throw away, God will raise up. What you count as nothing, if they'll turn their life to the Lord, He'll raise them up right in front of your very eyes. And He'll use them. He'll use them. He said, a flickering ember, I won't snuff out. And a bruised reed, though you think it's too broken, I won't break it. I know how to resurrect that which is dead. God's got a plan, even in your pain. It's not over. Sometimes the rejection brings you to a place where you're just getting started. You never would have had this opportunity. You never would have had this moment. If they would have accepted you back then you wouldn't be ready for what God has ahead of you. And if they didn't stay with you then please know that God has those who will. I want to read you a little people. Well, we know for sure in the scriptures that David was just a nobody, that they didn't even call to the meeting when they was going to anoint the next king. He was tending the flock. Not even thought about when they called for the sons of Jesse to line up. David would be one of the greatest kings that Israel had ever known in the Old Testament. We know that Moses stuttered, struggled with his speech, even though he was raised in Egypt with all the great education that they had. When God called him, he was so low and considered himself of so little value that he said, "You've got the wrong person. Call somebody else." God didn't turn Moses away because of the things that he had struggled with in his own person. He had murdered an Egyptian, fled the country, was tending sheep, but it was through the tending of sheep that he learned how to lead the nation, millions of people. Don't think that the place that you are in this small place is not significant. It is significant. He doesn't need a huge sanctuary to teach you the ways of God. He just needs you to listen to the words that he's speaking, even in small, insignificant places. Or so it seems. No place is insignificant. To God, every bitter thing is sweet. He raised up harlots and made them part of the lineage of Christ. He can take anyone who will acknowledge his greatness and surrender to them. The woman by the well with five husbands, and the one that she had, she wasn't married to. But he used her to disciple Samaria. He can use anyone. Don't count out who God's counted in. Thomas Edison. He didn't speak until he was four. And didn't read until he was seven. He was expelled from school and was not admitted to a specific school that he wanted to go to. Long story short, he came around. God used him. Isaac Newton. Sure, Newton was a whiz at math, but he did not excel when it came to other subjects. He never thrived in school, and when he was once put in charge of running the family farm, he failed terribly. That was when he was sent off to Cambridge, and the rest is history. Sometimes your greatest failures are the stepping stones to the next success that will take you where God has called you. Had you not failed back then, you wouldn't be where you are now, having the opportunity that you have at this moment. Sometimes failure's your friend, rejection's your friend, because God has something better for you, something more suitable for you in the future. If you'll perceive it from God's perspective. Michael Jordan. He was cut from his high school basketball team. He once said, "I have missed over 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I have been entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I have missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I have succeeded." Come on. Don't you know that failure pushes you to success? Just like the rejection of people pushes you to God? Would you know God as deep as you did now if you didn't have sorrow or trouble or difficulty? If you was accepted by man and receive their praises, would you be known by God? Would you have pressed into his breast to hear his voice? Paul said, if I was trying to be a pleaser of men, I would not be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Babe Ruth hit home run. His home run record is 714 during his career, but he still had a total of 1,330 strikeouts. At one point, he held the record for strikeouts. He once said, "Every strike brings me closer to a home run." It's a perspective. Perspective is huge. Divine revelation brings perspective. Say it with me. Divine revelation brings perspective. Proper perspective. Abraham Lincoln. When Lincoln was young and entered war, he entered as a captain, but he came back as a much lower, a private. Later on, he tried to start up a ton of businesses, all of which failed. And before becoming president, he lost several runs for public office. He's one of the greatest presidents ever. Don't count out who God's counted in. Don't reject yourself. Don't reject others. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Ask God to move in their life. And let me tell you one of the greatest stories ever. Christ was rejected, but it is through Christ that we have access to God the Father. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement needed in order to obtain peace with God was placed upon him, and by his stripes we are healed and accepted and loved in the Beloved. Eternal life. All these people have died or will die. They will all come to an end in their life. But what will matter is, did you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? You will be judged by God on one thing. Did you accept Christ Jesus, my Son, as your Savior to forgive and cleanse you of all your sins? Don't reject that. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Father, as we come to you this morning, what an interesting service this has been. You're calling people, you're drawing people, you're bringing people to you through many different ways, sometimes even through rejection. We are able to come to God. You're challenging us this morning to accept your Son in every area of our life. Accept his lordship, even in those painful places of rejection. You're asking us to trust you with the next step. That rejection brought me here. Now what, God? That painful circumstance brought me here. What are you doing now? Press in. Press in. Press into Christ. Lay your head on his breast. Let him lead and guide your life. Let him speak to you, and may you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, because he has another phase of your life. It's not over. It's just beginning. Let him lead you. You're listening to me now, right at this very moment. You're examining your life, as you should. For we all must examine our heart in order to be able to move to the next place, even to accept Christ and welcome him in the next decision. We must examine ourselves. There will be areas where we sinned. There will be areas where we rejected others and received the blows that brought us to this place. There will be all kinds of circumstances that bring us to this place. But God, may we not reject your Son today. May we receive the forgiveness of our sins and our iniquities. May you forgive us for hurting others the way that we ourselves have been hurt. May you cleanse away the motives and the wrong thoughts and the wrong actions, and place in us the Holy Spirit of God. May we in this place forgive as we have been forgiven. We may not have to have a relationship with them personally anymore, but what we can do is pray for them. Pray for their lives. Pray for their souls. And let me tell you, the Lord, the King of glory, is returning. And there are a lot of people right now that are outside of the blood of Jesus, outside of his covering, outside of his grace. They are rejecting Christ and therefore rejecting their hope of eternal life. Christ has opened up the door through his body. He says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. Come, I will refresh your souls. Come and accept the living water. Come and accept what I have done for you without price. Accept it. I paid the price. Come and receive the forgiveness of sins. Confess your sins. He is faithful to forgive you. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Accept Christ. I beg of you. Everything in this world is winding down and coming to an end. Accept Christ, lest you be outside of his covering and his grace, and you face the judgment of God and be cast into hell. That's the reality of the rejection of Christ. There is a hell to shun and an eternity and a heaven to gain. Accept Christ. Don't reject him. If you're listening to me, please, please give your life to the Lord. Let him lead and guide you. Let him heal the wounds of your heart. Let him direct your steps and guide you. Let him transform you through this born-again experience, through the sanctification of the Holy Ghost. Let him do his work in you, and you will be shocked and amazed at what he will do with your life. Let him lead and watch where he takes you. In Jesus' mighty name.